Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blood, Sweat and Jills. Simon Head from Jills 365, Matt from Jills in the Blood TV. It's a weekly thing now. Every Monday after a Jills game, we will be here to unpack whatever the hell happened at the weekend. And I think it's a cause for some celebration. All right, Matt, we're on the board. We've got a point. We're off and running in League One. All right, very few trees were pulled up in the greater Fleetwood area. But, something to build on, right?
Yeah, you might get moaned at by a few for saying celebrating a 0-0 draw, but I get what you mean. Yeah, there were certainly positives again. The main thing for me was that we're up and running and we've got a point on the board. The clean sheet is a big plus for me because of the way we imploded 7 days previously. Injury curse strikes again, unfortunately, it looks like. But yeah, all in all, considering the players that were missing, the player that we lost midway through the second period, and the players that we had to call on, which were essentially 4 youth teamers and 3 very young pros in Cameron Antwi, Sheldon Kendall and Conor McManus. All in all, a good afternoon's work.
Yeah, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, right? So if you know, we had no points, we had nothing coming for us at the start of the week, we've got a point. And what I would say is, it's like, okay, yeah, it wasn't spectacular. I've watched the match back since, and the thing that struck me was we just seemed a bit more resolute in defence. You know, we minded our P's and Q's a little bit more. We took no chances back there. We made sure we got the ball clear when we needed to. There are a couple of chances here and there. There was a late header that landed on the roof of our net, but really, I think was there a header that hit the outside of the post as well. But that was about it. They weren't exactly peppering the goal, were they? So I would take that as a positive, especially somewhere like Fleetwood, which is a long, long away trip to do. Difficult play. I know it's a stereotype, but it is a tough place to go play a game of football. And I thought we held up a reasonable display, especially given all the question marks that were sort of levelled at us after the first game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I can't get away from it. That sounds boring. I sound like I'm repeating myself. But after the way we collapsed the week before, having been decent enough for 82 minutes, I know we've spoken about this on last week's show, of course, yeah, but to go up there against a side that's got no Liam Gordon, no Armani Little, who are both probably going to be starters when fit, regardless of our opinions on either. Obviously, it's difficult to gauge an opinion on Liam. He's only been here for a couple of months, but regardless of what you think about Armani Little, he seems to be fancied by Gareth Ainsworth. So chances are he's going to start games when he's fit and available. And then you're bringing in Logan Dobbs, making his first EFL start, who, to be fair, was absolutely fine last weekend. He wasn't a reason why we imploded in the last period of the game. Biggest thing for me, Andy Smith learned from what he'd done wrong last week. Probably had a slightly slow start. There was a couple of times I thought he was ball watching again, but he got better as the game went on. But the biggest thing was Omar Beckles putting a 90-minute performance, and we got the Omar Beckles that we probably thought we were signing in January, the one that's been promoted out of this division and captain Leighton Orient to a title 3 years ago. He was absolutely superb. I can't recall him missing a header. He was big, he was strong, he was vocal. He didn't shirk a battle. And perhaps more importantly, he coached and cajoled Smith and Dobbs through a game because they were going to come on strong for periods. They've got Ched Evans. Will Davies is a decent striker. And they make changes. So you're bringing on different types of battles and different type of problems to solve. And we solved all of them. It's not spectacular. I understand the concerns that we've still not scored a goal in 3 competitive games this season. But I think there are some fairly extenuating circumstances surrounding that. It's not because we're rubbish and are not creating a chance. I think I see a stat last night on social media that said we hit the frame of the goal 6 times in 46 league fixtures last season. We've hit 5 in the first 2. So we're creating chances, we're forcing keepers to make good saves. And when we're beating the keeper, unfortunately, we've run into a crossbar a couple of times and a post. So I think goals will come. Defensively, we looked a lot better. Just need to keep people fit, don't we?
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, like the chances thing, I'm really encouraged by that because seasons past, we've gone to games and we've been clinging on, and a 0-0 has been like the ceiling of our expectation, right? It's like, well, we know we don't look particularly capable of creating chances. Unless we get something from a set piece, we're struggling to score, especially away from home. but we are creating chances. So that's good. But going, you know, moving on to what you just touched on there, the injuries are, I don't know whether we need to get a witch doctor, whether we all need to send a congregation around a pitch and sort of urinate in each corner of the pitch or do something. Some have someone cast a spell on the training ground.
Simon said that in jest for everybody.
Honestly, I just don't understand it. Like we have had this injury issue for a while, and like it, granted, we have been architects of our own downfall in the past with some of the signings we've made. I mean, Josh Andrews, the poor guy. You know, it isn't his fault that he gets injured. But he signed for us to all stories, without a medical, proceeded to be someone who struggled for fitness all the way through. He's gone to Grimsby Town. He's built their hopes up with a positive first performance. And now he's out for a few weeks. But we're having this happen to players who previously haven't had a particularly bad, do you know what I mean? So, you know, and it isn't necessarily training methods because they've not been with us that long, you know, and as Ainsworth said, I think, after the Fleetwood game, these aren't training injuries. These are in-game injuries. So it is, I think, just rank bad luck in some of these cases. You know, I know immediately you see these things and you see it's happening a lot to one club and you think, well, there must be a reason for this. We must find the reason for this, or we must find someone to blame for this. Is it the physio staff? Is it this? Is it that? You see it all on social media. People just desperate to cling on to something. Sometimes it is just bad luck. And when you get an injury like the one that Liam Gordon had, that was just bad luck. When you get an injury like the one Kadeem Harris had at the weekend, that's just bad luck. The thing is, they're happening to important senior players in the team. And I mean, were you able to see a bit more clearly from where you were what happened with Kadeem? I know he didn't look great when he came off, but
not really, more than probably Reese from German Jewels had probably seen it better than me because he'd been looking at a TV screen. We were to the left of where the dugouts were on the pitch, so we'd have been in the like near the corner flag, so obviously you sort of see he held his knee a few minutes before as well. Nobody sort of thought anything of it, and then there was the tussle with the Fleetwood player. But again, you didn't see anything untoward. I know Gareth's come out and said it looks like he got his studs caught in the turf, and then there's a nudge from the Fleetwood player, who obviously doesn't understand what's happening. Again, I know we got away with it with Liam Gordon. I'm not sure we get away with it again. The way he was taken off on a stretcher, it looked like his knee was his legs were putting a brace together. To me, from where I was sat, he was obviously very emotional, it looked like. It was first it was hands over face. It then looked like it was head in shirt. So potentially he's getting emotional and obviously understands that it's a serious one, which is a real shame because he started the season fairly positively. I know we've not scored a goal, so we can't say anything in terms of goal contributions. But in terms of his general play, I thought Kadeem had looked really impressive. But yeah, and I had a conversation with someone on X on Sunday, and you go back to the nature of the injuries, and someone said, well, if they're all muscular, then we need to investigate. Absolutely. If we've got nine people out and they're all muscular, then you can question the training method. You can question the physio team. But like you say, Liam Gordon, freak knee injury. Kadeem Harris, freak knee injury. Cameron Antwi had to have surgery because of a bad tackle against Barrow back in February. Ethan Coleman's missed 6 months because he got a bad ankle impact injury against MK Dons back in March. So that's four of the nine straight away. I think Dackey took a whack at Dover. And of course, we're going to be careful with him because of his ACL history. Gareth McCleary's becoming frustrating because we got told he just does his own thing in pre-season, but then he's lasted 20 minutes. So I can understand people getting a bit narked about that.
Yeah.
Sam Tabarez is obviously frustrating coming, tweaked a hamstring. That's muscular. But I don't think it's like you say, it's not the same type of injury for every single player that's missing. And some of these, at least four, have been because of tackles or, like you say, just freakish stuff, landing awkwardly or studs getting caught in a pitch. Is it to do with the pitches? They're harder at the moment. Nobody knows, but surely it turns at some point. I mean, if I see a black cat across the road and I'm not directly affiliated to the football club, contrary to what some say, but it feels like we've run over about 50 of them at the moment, not just one or two. In terms of this week, obviously it's a big week because transfer window shuts next Tuesday, I think. So yeah, fingers crossed we get some reinforcements and we get to see the likes of Dackey and Ollie Wright, maybe even Coleman. And then things look a lot better, don't they? And if we beat Northampton, all's right with the world again. But this is Gillingham.
This is. It immediately gives us a selection dilemma for Northampton on Saturday as well. Like, even in those two team selections that we saw, and you know, they've been injury hit, but there is a certain way that Gareth Ainsworth clearly wants to play. There is a certain way he wants to set up with his wide players in particular. And now one of them's out injured. Is he just going to plug someone else straight into that role? Someone like a Conor McManus who could come in and just plug and play straight in at left wing back? Or would he look at moving someone like Brofs out there and playing him out on the left and maybe moving someone else into that advanced midfield role? It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, like, he's been making noises, Ainsworth, that more players are coming back. Could we even see Bradley Dack at the weekend, for example? And if he comes in, the natural movement, I guess, would be to put Brophy out on the left to accommodate Dack in the middle. But I don't know. I mean, what if you were Mr. Ainsworth and you were looking at the team based on the players you know are available right now, who would you put in there?
Based on the fact that even if Bradley Dack's fit for the weekend, I wouldn't start him. Based on the fact that we've heard from Gareth, be very careful with these players. For me, Conor McManus goes to left wing back. I was impressed against Luton. I was impressed Saturday. There was a couple of times he got left one-on-one, didn't dive in, stood up, held his position, gave away corners, but that's fine. You can then get set back up and pick up your men in the box. There was one right at the end where he got done on the inside, which was the cross for the late header that landed on the roof of the net, luckily. But I like Kadeem Harris, but McManus arguably gives you that more natural balance if he plays as a wing back. Yeah. He said in his interview when he joined, he's played there. He said he's played equally at left back as an orthodox fullback. He can play left sided centre back. But for me, you don't touch the back three because Dobbs, Smith, and Beckles deserve to play again. So for me, Brophy stays in the 10. Conor McManus comes in as the left wing back. The only slight one we've still got is obviously we haven't got a right wing back, which means Nick Freeman's a little bit like a duck out of water. But I thought, in fairness to Freeman, two good deliveries. How often have we said that from the same player in a 90-minute game over the last few years? Very rarely. I've had a couple of discussions with a few people on social media about can Will Goodwin do better with them? But we'll get to that. But for me, Conor McManus comes in. Rest stays the same if everyone's fit and available. Although James Brophy did have quite the fair-sized ice packing around his calf at full-time, but I'd imagine that was probably precautionary or hopefully some sort of cramp. He wasn't limping or anything, but given our luck with injuries at the moment, I'm not taking anything as a gimme.
We don't need any more. We don't need any more. We should be sponsored by sort of a cotton wool company or a cryotherapy company or something. Because we need some help from somewhere. But you just touched on it there, and that was going to be my next question, and it led on from the Freeman thing, because I thought Freeman, from what I saw of him, looked quite good. I mean, obviously he isn't playing in his natural position, so we have to view it through that lens whenever we see him out there. But he got to the byline a couple of times, put some good deliveries over, and Will Goodwin getting on the end of these chances, that's a positive, right?
Absolutely.
First things first. Previously, those sorts of deliveries, if we got them, would go into the box and there'd be the general call would be, why is no one in there? You know what? He's in there. He's getting on the end of these chances. At the moment, they're not going in for him. But I would prefer to look on the positive side that he's getting on the end of them. What was the feeling among the fan base when you were there on Saturday? Because you've got a player there who, he's new to the team. The whole team are new in terms of they're still bedding in.
Yeah.
And he's getting into positions and he's getting chances. He's hit the target with a couple on Saturday. They weren't decisive enough contacts, were they? They were easy for the goalkeeper when maybe they could have been a little bit more of a test. But as I say, he's getting on the end of them. So what was the general sort of temperature within the crowd for how they were responding to Goodwin and his chances and his play overall?
At the time, I think it was just always unlucky. And like you say, it was good football. The second chance is really good football. I think Ronan Al breaks down the right, goes in outside to win. I think there's a chance for a shot, but he sort of holds his position, gives it back to Brophy, who then plays a really, well, I say a really good ball. He just slightly overhit it, to be fair, for Brophy, but that's only because he's that good and we know he's usually right on the money. But Nick Freeman's still able to cross it. First one, I gave Goodwin the benefit of the doubt. I thought because it was a cross that was stood up rather than whipped, and I think it was just ever so slightly behind him. So he's trying to generate his power and he's obviously having to take a step away from the goal. I think if he's running onto it, then I'd say, yeah, you probably should score because you then got a full aim at the goal. But because you're having to arch your neck backwards, that reduces your angle. So I'd say that was, well, the title of my shows over the weekend was it was a game of half chances. I didn't think anybody had a clear-cut chance in the game for either side. So I'm definitely in the camp of Goodwin is doing well to get these on target. Of course, the one we go back to is the left-footed one that he should have scored against Walsall last week. But he knows that. We know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got a striker that's new, that people have accused of being injury prone, who's got into probably four or five really good positions. Same as Ronan Hale. I think if one goes in for either of them, then I think two or three might follow really quickly. You just need that spark and that switch from the first one. And then we'll go, oh, look, we are creating chances and we do know how to stick them in the back of the net. But for me, Will Goodwin has been very good in the two league games. I think there was one bit of play where he set Hale away as well with a ball in the channel. Hale just didn't have enough pace to run away from the centre half, unfortunately. I've liked what I've seen. He's unlucky with the one at the end. Did he get a touch? Was it Harry Waldock's cross-come shot that hit the post? According to the apps I looked at, it seems Will did get studs on it. So he's now hit the frame of the goal three times in 180 minutes. So another one who's probably run over a black cat as well, it feels. But no, like him, offers a lot, mobile, plays back to goal, links play really well. We said it last week, I'll say it again, to a lesser degree, because I thought the lad that played centre midfield and just sat in front of Fleetwood's back three had Brophy under control more than against Walsall. But yeah, that triangle really encouraged.
Yeah, and I think Hale, the thing I like with Hale is Hale's prepared to take shots when people aren't expecting him to hit them. You know, he will hit shots early and he will score a couple of goals this season where he's just caught the keeper off the line or he's caught him napping. And he nearly did that on Saturday with the effort that came off the post. That I think the keeper was beat.
I didn't use
You know, like 6 inches to the left, he scores. So he's, you know, they are doing a lot of things right. It's just a little bit of poor luck that they haven't actually hit the back of the net yet. Fingers crossed we get that on Saturday against Northampton. Before we touch on the Northampton game, we mentioned the injuries. That just heightens the need for some reinforcements, right? I know Ainsworth this week has said he's looking at getting another three players in before the transfer window shuts, which shuts at 11 p.m. on September the 1st. So doesn't shut at the end of the month. It's actually the end of the September 1st.
Isn't that the day we played Chesterfield? So it might be that we have to get our business done the day before.
You always want to get your business done the day before if you can, because agents will have you over a barrel otherwise. And, you know, I always think if you're doing your business at the end, then, you know, you're in trouble. But we are in trouble. We've had some injuries. We need some more players. So where are we most in need? I mean, I think the general consensus is, yeah, we need a centre-half. And
at least one, probably.
Yeah, so if we take the view that we're getting three players, or the plan is to get three players, one's probably a centre-half, right? One's probably a forward of some description. What sort of forward would you want if you want a forward? And who would the third player, or say, what role do you want the third player to take?
Well, before Saturday, I'd have said we use Robbie McKenzie as a centre-half and you bring in another experienced centre-half, and then that gives you a really good set. So that would give you Beckles, Dobbs, Smith, McKenzie, plus another.
Yeah.
So then I'd have said centre forward or someone that can play across the front, so to speak, and another energetic centre midfielder. Because I think we've seen with Zane Alboros, legs can give you a leg up in the middle of the park and give you a head start. And for half hour alongside Armani Little, we said last week, the energy was really good and it dropped off when Robbie McKenzie went in there. Not because Robbie McKenzie can't play central midfield, but he's a different type of central midfielder. He's not going to be one that runs around the pitch and gets about as quickly as the other two. But then obviously we've now got the Kadeem Harris conundrum. And we've now only got one natural left wing back. who's a kid that's never played senior football up until the last 3 weeks, and it's a grand total of about half an hour, give or take.
Yeah.
So do you then ask Robbie McKenzie to do centre-half and centre midfield? Because that position's still not ideal, because we've not seen Bradley Dack, we've not seen Ethan Coleman. Cameron Antwi's obviously coming back after 6 months injured. Gareth McCleary, who can play 10, has now pulled up lame again. So I think the two that we're nailed on, a centre-back and a striker. Can you get someone that plays left wing-back and centre midfield? I'm not so sure. Do we need another? Yeah. We need to clone Nick Freeman and Robbie McKenzie potentially, but whether a cloning machine's in the budget, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, we need another Swiss Army knife, don't we?
We do.
It's so difficult. I mean, like, just the names you were listing off there that, you know, are, you know, if we get this person back, we'll get this person. If we have a fully fit squad, our squad ain't too bad, I don't think. I really don't. I think we're short in the final third. I think we definitely need another striker for sure. So I'm pleased to hear that we're probably going to be
getting one of them. If you guarantee that Bradley Dack and Ethan Coleman are back this weekend, then it solves your problem. Then you go, we need a striker, a centre-back and a left wing-back. But we've not seen either of them in a competitive game. One of them, we've not seen a competitive game since the middle of March. So,
yeah. Suboptimal, I think the phrase would be. It's, you know, fingers crossed. It's a 46-game season. Hopefully, as things progress, we start to get some of these boys fit. And
well, Gareth did insinuate that there were two that have said yes, didn't he, in his post-match on Saturday. He said that we've got two yeses. It looks like it's just a case of, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, so to speak. So fingers crossed, we'll look a lot stronger for Saturday, even if we don't have injured players back, because two new signings obviously go onto that bench. But in fairness, I thought the young lads that came on were really, really good on Saturday. I thought they added real value to that team. I know some weren't on long. They were all involved, whether that was for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. I thought they all had a part to play in almost nicking us a winner, if you say Waldock or Kendall, or certainly getting us over the line in terms of someone like Connor McManus.
And it's all great experience. It hopefully stands them in good stead for later in the season, when maybe they might not be as regular in the team as they are right now, because needs must right now. But if and when they are called upon as the season goes on, they've got that experience in the bank that they're now collecting early on in the season. So fingers crossed that sets them up nicely for as the season goes on and we start to get our senior players back. Everything starts to look a little bit more rosy in the garden at Priestfield. We've got Northampton this weekend, Matt, and they've had a similar sort of start to us. They drew their first game and then they lost to a pretty controversial goal at Crewe at the weekend. I did think the goal should have stood personally. I think technically, he shouldn't. Their striker did a Dion Dublin. Basically, he hid off the pitch, and then came around sneaking.
Or a Gary Crosby for those that are a little older.
Well, yeah, was it Andy Dibble, the Man City goalkeeper? He headed it out of his hand, didn't it? Yeah. But he was off the pitch, and once you're off the pitch, you're not supposed to I know when you go off the pitch through momentum and stuff.
Because if the referee didn't give him permission to leave the field of play, then he has to ask to come back on. But I'm all there for it. I'm not going to lie. If it's against my team, fuming, but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Oh, it's hilarious because it's not us. But it's it's a horrible way to lose a game of football when you've done all right and then you get done by something like that. But yeah, so that's their season so far. They're coming off the back of that, coming down to Priestfield.
So neither side have scored yet, am I correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah, we are. I'm looking at the table. We are the only two sides in the league that haven't scored yet. So someone's it's gonna be an absolute goal fest. But no, hopefully we'll get off the mark on Saturday and pick things up. But in terms of the actual start to the season, the play has been positive-ish. We just need some goals, right? If we can come away from Saturday, even if it's a draw, have him put one or two in the back of the net, I think that'll make people feel a lot more comfortable with things, wouldn't you?
Yes and no, but then some will just moan and concentrate on the fact that there's nothing in the W column. So,
yeah.
Sitting here now, a few days out from the game, not to give too much away, I think if we play as well as we have for probably, if I've worked it out right, 185 of the 199 minutes that we've had to get through, I think we win the game Saturday. I think we're better than Northampton. I think we've got better players. I think we've got more match winners. So yeah, blame me if obviously invariably it's 0-0 or we get beat 1-0 in the last minute again. But I think we'll win the football match on Saturday.
Two things I want to see, right? I want to see a goal and I want to see no injuries for 90 minutes. If we can get through 90
minutes...
I know. I'll have the moon on a stick and a winning lottery ticket as well, please. But no, it's fingers crossed. If we can get through 90 minutes without someone else getting crocked, that would be very nice. A goal and a win would just be the cherry on top of the cake.
Not just crocks, is it? It's the fact that they're crocked for they're going to be months. That's the thing. You can understand someone coming up and they go, it's a week or two, but it seems everything at the moment is 2 months minimum, which is really frustrating. But like I say, a couple of signings this week and it looks a little bit better, doesn't it? And if we win on Saturday, 4 points from 3 games, new team, loads of people missing, I don't think everything's that bad in the world, is it?
And it'll be an unbeaten run. We'll be 2 unbeaten. So, you know, it's all things to cling on to. But it's so early in the season. We get ourselves a win on Saturday, things will start to pick up. Fingers crossed that is what we get against Northampton Town on Saturday. We'll wrap things up on Blood, Sweat and Jills this week. Before we go, please do subscribe to Jills in the Blood TV. Matt has content coming at you left, right and centre throughout the week, whether it be matchday previews, matchday reviews, vlogs from the games themselves, all sorts going on. Check out the is it the League Two review? Was it League Two weekly?
League Two Hour,
which will be probably live by the time you see this podcast. So if you haven't already been on there for the replay, dive on and watch that as well. Check out jills365.news for all your Gillingham coverage. We have a free trial. Sign up for a free trial. You could have monthly or annually. You get a 7-day free trial. Check it out. If you like what you see, let that subscription roll on. If not, bid us farewell and you'll take our best wishes. Fingers crossed you'll like what you see. Follow the coverage through the course of the 26-27 League 2 season. That's all we've got for you on Blood, Sweat and Jills this week. Fingers crossed we're talking about our first win of the season next time we get behind the microphone for episode number 3. Until next time, up the Jills.